Certainly is good to be able to be out here tonight. Certainly is a beautiful Lord's Day that we have been allowed to enjoy. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. That's where our text will be starting out in tonight. I guess if my sermon has a title tonight, it will be Eternal Punishment, or Hell, if you would. You all probably heard that I've preached those sermons on hell before. Well, I guess I'm going to do it again tonight. But here's the reason that I think that we need this. In our world today, there are people that says, when you die, you're dead. You're dead like Rover, dead all over. There's people who don't believe that there's a hell. Some people say, well, you might be cast into fire and you're going to catch fire and then you're going to burn up. But that's not what the Bible says. So tonight I'm going to talk to you some about hell and the rewards. And we as Christians, we need to focus on eternal life, no doubt. And we'll be talking about that as well. But just, we need to notice and we need to be aware and we need to be willing to show people, look, here's how come this is true, because God's Word says it is true. And this is what we're going to be judged by. So we want to go by the truth. It's a very important thing that you can't leave out. You know, and one of the scriptures that I used in my sermon last week was one that feareth him and then obeys him, right? But the fact is, the fear comes from us knowing what God's wrath is like, is what I see. So that will help us in being one of those who fears him, but and keeps on fearing him. Let's start in verse 14 of this chapter, and let's read some. Excuse me. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 talents received 2. He also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and he reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So God was very pleased with this person who he gave 5 talents to when he comes back and he receives 5 in return. You know, the Lord gives us talents, don't he? He gives us some money, don't he? He gives us abilities. He gives us resources. He gives us opportunities to preach, teach, show his love, his gospel in our lives. What are we doing with his talents? How are we using them? Is that when the Lord comes back, is he going to say this right here? Is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many and enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, that would be our all hope and joy, wouldn't it? That would be the words that we want to hear most from the Lord upon his return, right? I know that's what I long to hear for one day. I long for the Lord to tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I long for. And we all, as Christians, that's what we should be longing for. He also that received 2 talents more came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now notice that this man that just received 2, he is getting the same blessing that the man that received 5. Right?
It's just the truth of the matter is God gives some people more than He does others, right? But to whom much is given, much is required. This person that had five, if he'd have came back and just got two, I got in my mind that the Lord probably wouldn't have been satisfied. But this man that He gave two to, when he had got two more for that, God's well pleased with him just like that one with five. So whatever the Lord's given us, I understand that I'm not the smartest man you ever met. Certainly, absolutely not. But I'm accountable to God to use what He has given me for His work. To bring about good and accomplish things. And to me, that's this whole message is about. Yeah, it gives monetary value to this. But to me, you know what? This means everything you have. This means all your resources, everything God blesses you with. It really belongs to Him. You know, it comes down to it, and it makes it an easy thing with money. Money's not a hard thing at all. It's a real easy thing. It all belongs to the Lord anyway. And He don't need it, really. But He wants us to use it in His work. And everything that we have. Our cars, He wants us to use them for it. Our houses, He wants us to show hospitality. Whatever we have. If we have more of what we need than something, He wants us to give it to somebody that don't have, that's in need. That's exactly what the Lord requires of us. And we need to be hunting up ways that we can do that. Now listen to verse 24. It says, "And he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine." What kept this man from doing what God wanted him to do? "I was afraid. I knew you was a hard man. I was afraid." Well, you know what? Lots of times we allow fear or being afraid for us accomplishing the things that God wants us to accomplish. We like to hinder us. That's one of the big tools that the devil uses it on us. If he can get us to be afraid, you know what? We'll fail every time. We won't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. But we don't need to be like this man right here. We need to know when it's things of God. And we need to realize, like this man said, he knew that he said, "Lord, I know that thou art a hard man. It's you reaped where you hadn't sowed, and you gathered where you hadn't strawed." You know, that seems to me like that would motivate me to even be more diligent about wanting to accomplish something for this man, you know. He's given me this, and I need to make sure that I use it in a way so when he comes back, I'll be pleased, right? And don't end up on his bad side. And that's the way that I look at it. But we know in this story, and we know sometimes with us even too, that the devil hinders us and makes us be afraid. And we don't accomplish what God wants us to. But we need to not be like this, because we don't want to hear this right here. "His Lord answered and said unto them, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." So at least you could have just invested it so I'd have that much more when I come back. Because that's the returns that the other two give on theirs. Five, five, two, two, and one. Well, all he got was just his money back. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come into his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne in his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in.
Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we it hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that are on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, When saw we a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life, or life eternal. Wow. It shows here that the Lord's pretty concerned about how we are with people then, right? So important that he takes it personal to himself, don't he? He said, when you did this unto the least of these, you did it unto me, right? When you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto me, right? It reminds me of when on the road to Damascus, when Paul was struck down, or Saul, you could call him at that particular time. What did the Lord ask? He asked him, Why persecutest thou me? It's because we belong to him, right? And he takes it personal how people treat his people. So therefore, it's so important that we show love to people, that we show kindness, that we share with them. When they're sick, we visit them. They're in prison, or we go into them. If they need clothes, we clothe them. If they're a stranger, we take them in. If they're hungry, we give them drink. If they're hungry, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them drink. It matters to the Lord, because he loved us so much that he made us in his own image to begin with. And not only that, after we failed the test with the free will and sin and became separated from God, he gave his only begotten Son for us. He loved us that much. So that's why we need to make sure that we do the things that God has for us to do. The reason is because you don't want to end up in this everlasting fire, right? It don't say that this is just a fire that you'll go into and you'll burn up. It says that it's everlasting. And there are many passages that we'll hopefully cover tonight that will speak that same thing. Everlasting punishment in verse 46, but the righteous into eternal life. It's our choice. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's up to us how it's going to be. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. We'll read a little bit there. Mark chapter 9, starting verse 43. It says, If thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall ye season it? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with another.
Why would it go through these passages here and say the fire is unquenched and the worm dieth not and the fire is unquenched over and over? Three times here, if it's just a fire, that'll burn up and it'll be over with. Because it's not. It's just like it says here. You'll be in tormented. You'll be tormented and it'll be everlasting. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. I'll have you bouncing back and forth if you're not careful. It says, "And fear not him, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We need to make sure that we fear God. You know, it's easy for us to, in this life, be afraid of people. But the truth of the matter is when we are children of the Lord's, we don't have to fear man. We don't have to worry what he can do to us, because it's not as important as it is what God can do to us. See? But you know, we allow a lot of times people to influence how we live and how we act, when the truth of the matter is we shouldn't allow that to be. We should just be afraid of God. That's the most important thing, because he is the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 16. We'll read a little bit there. We'll start in verse 19 of Luke chapter 6. "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, thou remember that thou in thy life receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Does it sound like that you're just going to catch a fire and you're going to be tormented for a little while and then it's going to be over? Absolutely not. This is the only truthful or absolute truthful story that we know of people after death. This is what gives us a glimpse into, you know, you hear people say that they had after-death experiences or whatever, after-life experiences, whatever you want to call it. But the truth of the matter is, I don't really know about all that stuff, but I know about this right here. Because this is what God's inspired word, the truth, tells me about it. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to guess. One man had it made here in this life, and afterwards he didn't, right? One man didn't have it made at all in this life, but one day he did, right? But the fact of the matter is this, is that there is this place of eternal punishment, and there's this place of eternal life. And it's up to us how we live our lives is going to affect where we're going to be in that situation. That's the reason we need to make sure. And I definitely can look at this situation and see that I don't want to be in the one where I'm tormented in this flame and I'm begging that Lazarus or someone I see over yonder just takes their tip of their finger and dips it in cool water or water to cool my tongue. I definitely don't want to be in that situation. So even a dumb old country boy for me can draw that conclusion that I don't want to go here. I want to be in this other place. And you notice with this, it seems like a one-sided mirror here. It's not that Lazarus can look over there and see a rich man over there being tormented. Do you notice that? Some people say, oh, well, this is a parable. Well, why did he call Lazarus by name if it's a parable? Lazarus, I believe, is a real person here. It might have been someone they knew. It might have been the reason that he didn't call the rich man by name. But the fact of the matter is, this is the real. It's not something laid down aside something else. This is the truth. This is about how it's going to be. But there's that great gulf fixed in between where no one can pass back and forth. You know, some people would tell you, oh, there are ways to get your loved ones out of hell and or purgatory over into the other. But the truth of the matter is there's not. Hebrews 9:27, which I used last week, is it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Your fate is sealed at that point. You make the decisions now, beforehand. You make sure you're ready now. And you know what? You won't have to worry. It's taken care of. It don't matter when the Lord comes back. It don't matter if it's 1 minute, 1 second, or 50 years. Don't make no difference. If you just make yourself right now, and you keep yourself there till He comes back, you know what? You're going to make it then. You keep on keeping on. Amen. But this is enough to make me realize that I'm not interested in any part of this right here. And I definitely want to be on the right side of this great gulf that's fixed here. Let's move on a little bit. Matthew chapter 13. We'll bounce right back to Matthew. We're going to just stay in the Gospels pretty much here until we get down maybe to the end. Chapter 13. Verse 40. It says, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's a pretty vigorous picture of how it's going to be. I don't think I want any part of that neither. I believe I'll just pass on that as well. I want to do my best to live for the Lord and be pleasing to Him. I want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then you don't have to worry about this. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people that's going to hear this, because there's people going out every day unprepared to meet God. While we sit about on our stool of do-nothing and try to share the message and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be about the work of God. We need to be about working in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, let's turn there and we're going to read a little bit there. Have you ever thought about that there's a punishment worse than death? You know, in this life, we fear death. We fear death. You know, we don't want nobody to kill us. You know, in the physical realm, and the way we think about it, we think about death's the worst thing that could happen to us. You know, if you're not a Christian, you'd think somebody killing you, that'd be the worst thing that could happen. But in truth and reality, if you're a Christian, death could be the greatest thing that ever happened to you, right? Yeah, surely you'd miss this place and people would miss you. But you know what? Death is the means whereby we receive the great reward that God's given us. But let's think about this, something being worse than death. Let's just kind of have that in our mind. Starting verse 1, chapter 18. So at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and He set him in the midst of them. And He said, verily I say unto ye, except ye be converted, and ye become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believest in Me, it were better for a man that he had a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Well, I tell you what, one day I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord knowing that I had hindered a young one in the Lord from going on and carrying on. I sure definitely wouldn't want to be there. It says in verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by whom offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cast them off and cast them from thee. It shall be better for thee to enter in halt or maimed rather than have two hands or two feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. I think the Lord probably has a special place down there. You can say, well, I'm out on a limb there. Well, maybe I am. But God absolutely hates it when we cause a little one in Him to be offended or cause them to stumble or put a stumbling block before them. You know, one of the things that He talked to the Pharisees, He talked about when one of them had converted them, or they had converted one, and they made them the twofold child of hell more than they were. Well, you know, that's a sad picture right there. That the Lord's telling them, you know, and there's another picture of that you wouldn't do it yourself, but and you stood in the door and wouldn't allow other people in. Boy, do you imagine where those people are going to stand when God pours out His just wrath upon them? Wow. I want to make sure I'm not ever in that position. But I tell you what, there are people that will do that today. They sure are. There's, sometimes it seems like there's people in the body of Christ that even has that too. I've seen it be. And it's a sad, it's a shame. It should never be named among God's people. But the truth of the matter is, it is so. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24. This here is talking a little bit right before Judas here, before he betrayed Jesus. It says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born." You ever thought about old Judas? Here's a man who walked with Him. He's seen Jesus do the miracles. He's the man that handled the money. He says it was thieves, what it says, the man that carried the bag. You remember His attitude whenever Jesus' feet were being anointed with that high-priced ointment, don't you? That could have been sold and given to the poor. He didn't realize this is the very Son of God sitting here. This is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. And His attitude. I can't imagine. I certainly understand why when He really figured out what happened is why He went out and He hung Himself. And He fell and His bowels gushed out. I certainly understand why He did what He did when He realized what He did to who He did it to. Someone who had loved us and everyone else, the whole world so much, He was willing to suffer and to die for them. And this man betrayed Him. Wow. That'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? Sure would. Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 28. It says, "He that despised Moses' law without mercy, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Wow. Man, if you thought about Moses' covenant here, just not exactly right, two or three people just have you killed. And how much more worse punishment do you think that is worthy to the ones of the covenant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, that puts it all in perspective, kind of, don't it? Wow. It talks about in here in certain passages how that if you've known the sweet taste and savor of the Lord and then you've turned away from it, you know, and it's like crucifying our Lord and Savior again. Wow. I mean, just to think. And you know what? This is people who know what it is and just rejects it. And this is us sometimes too, I believe. When we don't take it serious. When we don't, we just kind of take it for granted. You know? We just make it a light thing. We just put it like it's not very important to us. It's such a serious matter living for the Lord, though. And you know, and I say it again, you know, doctors, whenever they make mistakes, people die physically. But when Christians make mistakes, people die spiritually. And they go to this everlasting torment, you know, where that worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's the difference. We're in the same business, but it's in the spiritual realm. The way that we live our lives has an impact on where the people get to go to heaven and hell. And I'm not saying I'm getting to choose for you or not, but yet I might be the one that could reach you, or I might be the one that'd be shining the light. You know, I talked about that one in my lesson last time that wanted to be get up to bat, go up to bat when there's two outs already and the two people on and those down by one and it was ninth inning. Well, I might have been that person right there at this particular opportunity in this person's life, the one who could have made the difference, and this person didn't end up in hell. That's how important it might have been for me to let my light shine. And that's what I'm here telling you tonight. We need to make sure that we use every opportunity we have to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, so that people don't end up in hell and people don't go out unprepared. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 5, 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour has come in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice.
Excuse me.
And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. This is Jesus' words Himself. And what does He say? He says, one day, the hour is going to come where all that are in the graves are going to hear His voice. And they're going to come forth. And those who've done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We like to think about things in a physical realm, and that's where people maybe get that idea that this body's going to be cast into fire and it's going to burn up and it's going to be over. But the fact of the matter is we're going to be resurrected. We're going to be all changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to all put on immortality. And we're going to spend eternity either in one of these two places, the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. We're going to be called up. God's going to call us up. And we're going to fall into one of these two categories. We're either going to be on the right or we're either going to be on the left. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, down in that verse, it says, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There are going to be people that are raised up, and that's going to be, that's Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 15. Keep bouncing back to Matthew, Donna. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's talk about this one here. Can you imagine it to be worse than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah? God thought Sodom and Gomorrah so wicked that He rained fire and brimstone down from heaven and destroyed the city. And we know the story, Lot's wife, how she looked back. They were told not to look back. And she turned into the pillar of salt. But the fact of the matter is how could any city be in worse shape and worse judgment than that when judgment day comes and Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, God showing with His power who He is and what He is and how He tolerated that, and it wasn't at all, right? God doesn't have any tolerance for that much, for sure. But to think about them even saying, wow, with this city, you know, in the day of judgment, it's going to be more tolerable for them. That's a pretty bad situation, then, ain't it? To be worse off than them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read a little bit there. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know that? Flesh and blood's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption inherit incorruption. But we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump, it gives you a time frame here, don't it? The last.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thank be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in the vain in the Lord. There's a picture of it right there. There's a picture of the end. Everyone's going to be changed. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. But we're all going to be changed. And that's the last trump. So that gives you a pretty good sign about it then. And death's not going to have power over us anymore. It's going to be swallowed up, and we're going to receive victory. That's the point, and that's the time where it's going to come. I used to read that scripture, and I didn't think everyone was going to be changed, but it says we all shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, in a blink, in a quick period there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So there's not going to be none there. If you fall in any of these categories, you're not going to be there. It says, and such were some of ye, but ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. That's pretty awesome, ain't it? He didn't say there was some of them that was like that. He said some of you were like this. We can all look back and say, yeah, we might have been these things, but we're not anymore. Because we are this same thing. We are washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. And what we have to do is do the work of the Lord. Accomplish the things that He has for us, and we'll shun hell, and we'll receive heaven. We'll receive that eternal life that He's promised unto those that our minds won't even go to be big enough to comprehend. You know, I tell the kids sometimes that, you know, when they're talking about what heaven's going to be, like I said, just think of the best thing that you can imagine in your mind, and it don't even compare to the greatness of what heaven's going to be like for us. That's the best explanation I can give for it. You know, it's just like you can think of your best day out here in this earth, in this life, and it's not even going to be anything good enough to be compared to what heaven's going to be like. That's my message tonight. Hope it's been helpful unto you. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, if you're a child of God and things are not like they should be, make them right. Make them right now. That's how you can know. I say it a lot. Make it right now and keep it right. You don't have to worry. It don't matter none to me when the Lord comes back. I don't care. It's not important. It's about me doing my work for Him till I do go myself, or He does come back. It's not important even. You know, when He's coming, yes, surely it'll be a great day, a wonderful day for those who fear Him, that are looking forward to Him coming back. But the fact of the matter is, don't really matter. It matters more about how I live my life and how I help other people to get there too. So come as we sing the invitation song. Here's